No intro tonight. Boy, it is 11:05 p.m. Monday night, November. Oh, my goodness. That's what happens. Literally 15 minutes ago, I got a DM from Mish. I can't make the show. Look, I hope he's okay. But, you know, when you prepare a show for 5-6 days straight with the intention of debate, discussion, and then literally 15 minutes before we go live, I can't make it. You know, it's okay. Change the template, change the intro, change the mindset, change the topics. I'm not going to void this show and not appear. We'll have a banger of a show. November. Yeah, so I am here. This is the Don Tony Show edition of Breakfast Soup Raw. Have no fear, everyone. Have no fear. On Thursday, yeah, the other side of the camera will have someone. I think you can tell in the logo in the lower right-hand corner who is going to be on there. Yes, that will be Thursday. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's get right into the discussion for today. All right, hang on. Let me just pull this off. All right, let's get out of here. All right. Happy anniversary, Cases of Raw. All right. Check this out. We had an interesting episode of Raw tonight. Little progression to the road of WrestleMania. I think if anybody paid attention to the preview of tonight's show, I mean, we had this up since yesterday. I actually had people tonight DM me, oh, what do you think about Logan Paul teaming up with Miz? I'm like, do you pay attention to the shows? Do you pay attention to the banners, the preview? I don't tweet much anymore. I'll hype something and I'll respond to somebody online. But this is where you get me. Logan Paul, look at how I worded it. Logan Pawful instead of awful, Pawful. I tried to do a play on words. I'm not excited for it. I don't like Logan Paul. Do I care if Dominic gives him a 619? Do I care if Ray gives him a 619? Do I care if even Angie the Potted Plant gives Logan Paul a 619? I don't want to see that. That's for advertisement purposes. You know, this isn't Johnny Knoxville. And at first, I didn't like the idea of Johnny Knoxville either, but it grew on me. There's no way Logan Paul grows on me. Definitely not. Hell no. Absolutely not. So this is what we got. Logan Paul at WrestleMania 38 teaming up with The Miz to take on Rey and Dominic Mysterio. Now, I did like the little teasing. What was Miz's exact words earlier? He said we're going a little out of place, which is okay. But Miz, you know, teased at Elimination Chamber that he was going to call someone. And we mentioned Logan Paul yesterday. I gave you who I was hoping it would be, maybe the return of John Morrison. Yeah, one could dream. But then when he comes out today to cut his promo, he says he's going to bring someone out, someone who comes from a fighting family. Okay. Someone who is a pioneer. Okay. He also mentioned someone who is a celebrity. Said that earlier. Someone who is very dashing. Oh, that was it. That was it. Everybody in the computer. Cody, 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 Cody. No. No. I can't believe that. Look, I'm convinced now that, you know, when we were kids and we would get fooled, we get swerved in wrestling. You know, we would sit at the TV. When we were very young, what would we say? Oh, snap, snap, oh, snap. When we got older, snap turns to shit. Oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. I think people now want to intentionally be swerved and lied to just so they can have that oh, snap feeling. I saw people clickbaiting everybody that Goldberg was going to be champion, that Cody was in Saudi Arabia, and yet these suckers still keep tuning into these shows. I think people want to be lied and fooled just for that old snap feeling. Logan Paul doesn't give it to me like that, so I honestly could care. Edge with a little tease of the word phenomenal. Yes, James, we could definitely bring that up now. Edge issuing the open challenge, and I'm just taking timestamps because today is all in disarray, but it's okay. We have I am not doing these topics because it's a one-person show. We'll be good. We'll get done quicker, which is good. I get to go to sleep a little earlier. But Edge tonight, in the middle of the ring. And yes, I grabbed my photos regardless of how crazy this show is going to get. Edge is in the ring, and Edge talking about WrestleMania. Can you smell it? Can you smell it in the air? It's WrestleMania season. He brings up his young fandomhood when Hogan slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3. He brings up some of his WrestleMania appearances, mentioning WrestleMania 17, two of the greatest tag teams of all time. If you tuned into our Elimination Chamber recap, you already know about D-Von. For those that don't know, D-Von Dudley had fusion surgery. Numerous vertebrae fused together. His career is over. That's why Edge name-dropped D-Von tonight and said, D-Von, I'm thinking about you. Because there was some buzz of the Dudleys, you know, doing a final couple of matches together, but impossible. I mean, you want D-Von to live his older years, not crippled in a wheelchair. So we all send our thoughts and prayers to D-Von, absolutely. He brings up his match against The Undertaker, retiring as champion, as many would feel that is good enough. But not for him. He busted his ass for 10 years to get back. He loves to soak in the energy from the fans so he can be phenomenal. Yes, seed planted. One thing about our shows here, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, well, no Friday, but we love when seeds are planted. We love when we pick up things months and months and months in advance. All those people that just ignored the storyline build of Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch for WrestleMania, we've been talking about it since SummerSlam. And every little seed that was planted along the way, we picked up on it. I picked up on it. You picked up on it. Seeds planted is beautiful. And Edge, you know, little phenomenal tease. He needs WrestleMania just as much as WrestleMania needs Edge. He wants someone to step up. He wants someone to fight him at WrestleMania, and he'll make that person live forever. And he says, in closing, step up, boys. I'll be waiting. Now, does AJ Styles fit that bill? I think so. You know, someone sent this to me earlier today. And if you actually look right smack in the middle, AJ Styles versus Edge, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Now, obviously, not all these matches are confirmed, but these are highly likely to be going down. But sure, have AJ Styles step up. Absolutely. I'm definitely for that. So we will see what happens. I would think, with only 6 weeks left and 5 weeks as of next Monday, I think AJ Styles has to come out, has to, you know, accept the challenge. And then we have the build for 4 weeks, AJ Styles versus Edge. Fantasy match for a lot of people. So, yeah, give it to me, man. I'm telling you, this WrestleMania is really shaping up to be a really good WrestleMania. I'm not going to be one of those Debbie Downers that's going to say, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks. Now, let's, before we run down Raw pretty quick, because I was very happy. How many times do we come up, talk about that scenario with the 24/7 title? It happened today. It happened in reverse, but it still happened. Props to all of you who DM'd me today that said, holy shit, DT, they did it. I'm in a good mood. I'm not lying. I don't lie to all of you. I feel pretty good right now. Let's get some bullshit news out of the way. Let's get some legit news out of the way. First off, this fake news. This fake news. And it floats around because they know that WWE Creative is not going to go on social media and call these people liars. There is a news report floating around that everybody's reporting that the WWE planned the Four Horsewomen to face each other in a fatal four-way at WrestleMania 38. But because Ronda Rousey became available, they nixed that match. That is 1,000,000% bullshit. 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 First of all, Sasha Banks, Bayley, injuries. You know, they should be back in time for WrestleMania. What the fuck do you think they've been doing with Bianca Belair since SummerSlam? That Bianca, there was no plans for her whatsoever to have the chance to fight Becky. Come on. Anybody that buys into that, that is fake bullshit news. That is all. And the fact that people are reporting it blows me away. I mean, where did they get this from? Now, I will tell you some legit news. You're not going to see this anywhere else. As of right now, sure, things could change. But if you notice on these shows, I don't report things unless it's pretty concrete. That's why we never get stuff wrong over here. Or it never reaches the show, the crap. Unless we really want to call something out, like that Four Horsewomen stuff. Fatal four-way. Fatal four-way, my ass. Remember what we said for the last 2 or 3 weeks? That if Brock Lesnar takes on Roman Reigns title for title, champion versus champion, winner take all, no unification match. People are claiming unification match. Stop it. That's not true. Title for title. They're not unifying it. Remember what we said for the last 2 or 3 weeks? That if they end up going title for title, that leaves only one men's heavyweight championship match to main event WrestleMania. You have 2 nights. You have 2 women's championship matches. Now you only have 1 men's championship match. So obviously, if you're only going to have Brock and Roman on 1 night, what is going to main event the other night? Well, I'm going to give it to you right now. As of right now, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch will main event night 1 of WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns will main event night 2 of WrestleMania. You can mark that down. Sure, something could change. I don't see it changing. Based on what I was told, I mean, it really makes no sense to change it. So that is why, because I know a lot of people were asking tonight, like, wait, but Ronda Rousey won the Rumble. You get the right to main event WrestleMania. Yeah, you do have more than one main event at WrestleMania. Even when it was 1 night, you had 2 or 3 matches that were considered main events. Co-main event. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte will be one of the main events at WrestleMania. But Bianca versus Becky will close out night 1. So I figured I would just share it with all of you so we could get those 2 out of the way. See, this is why I really wanted to do the show with Mish tonight. Because I know we would have had so much fun talking about Corey and Carmella. You know, it's funny. We just talked a couple of weeks ago about that old story that I broke about, what, 15 years ago, Christy Carmella. Remember that debacle, Christy Carmella with the Diva Search? Well, now they have Corey and Carmella. This is a new YouTube series that is going to premiere next Monday on YouTube. And let me tell you something. This is pretty wild that WWE is pushing this the way it is. And the reason why I say it is if you even go on WWE social media and you look at the preview of this reality series. It is very heavy in the sexual department. I mean, I don't know anybody on this earth, I think, that bangs each other more than Corey Graves and Carmella. But when I was watching the preview on WWE's website and social media, I hit a still frame. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not a, like a stirrer, a coffee stirrer, or a giant stuffed animal dog toy on the floor. I know they blurred it out, but I was like, wait a minute. Is that what I think it is? Yes, that's actually what it is. They actually showed, it is a little blurred, but they're actually talking about dildos. I mean, they barely edited out a lot of the F-bombs that Carmella was saying and Corey. You know, little innuendos about things between his legs. I mean, this, if that would have debuted in the Attitude Era, it would have, I think it would have fit in just nice. This surprises me. This really surprised, I mean, barely blurred. Now, I did a little Photoshop. You see, like WWE, they put this on their website. They put coming Monday, February 28th. Well, you know, yours truly decide to fix the spelling a little bit. So coming, I'm coming November. It's the November again. I'm coming February 28th. Where am I getting November from? It's really spelled coming. But yeah, so Corey and Carmella, February 28th. You got to go out of your way to look at the preview. I'm not exaggerating in anything that I said. I saw the dildo and I hear everything. I'm like, wait, WWE is actually like promoting this big time. And yeah, I know. It's a little crazy. Let's get all these thumbnails out of the way. By the way, shout out to everybody. I see some of your questions coming in. I will definitely get into them in a few moments. Let me give you one other news tidbit. Veer. This is not sarcasm. Veer Mahan. Where's my Veer pick? Here it is. Veer Mahan. Coming to Raw. I got some news for you. For real. No BS. You know, you and I, 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, was saying that he's going to break Emma's streak. I think he's broken Emma's streak already. I was told by someone who I trust, who gave me some WrestleMania stuff as well, is that Veer Mahan, within 2 weeks, may be debuting on Monday Night Raw. He may debut the following week or the week after. Might be the same night that the tag team titles will be defended. And I guess we could open up with that. Very interesting. Very interesting. Because if you remember 2 weeks ago, because Mish wasn't on last Monday either, you remember 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the tag team titles, and we talked about Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, or Kevin Owens turning on Seth Rollins. You remember when I said that could Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens become tag team champions for a short period of time, and then something goes wrong, and there's a falling out? I'm not saying they're going to win the tag belts in 2 weeks, but it'd be very interesting if they win the tag titles, because I personally do not know if Alpha Academy is going to have those tag belts going into Mania. Riddle versus Randy Orton, everybody is set that there's going to be a turn. Tonight, Randy Orton was the one taken out. Riddle was looking for his partner. Remember about 4 or 5 months ago, I said, you think there's any chance that Riddle would turn on Randy? I don't see that happening. I mean, Riddle in the Elimination Chamber, we knew that he had no shot in winning, but you'd be surprised how many people were rooting for Riddle. Riddle is over with the crowd. And I think you leave Riddle as a babyface. But so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks. Now, last week, they said 2 weeks. Now it's 2 weeks. So it will be 2 weeks from today. Because on Raw tonight, we had a tag team match. It was Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens taking on RK-Bro. And the stipulation was that if Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens won the match, they would be inserted in the tag team title match in 2 weeks. So because they won that match tonight, they are now inserted in that tag title match. We got 2 weeks to think about it, you know, but it'd be really interesting if Seth Rollins and Kevin, because remember, that's one of my predictions of 2022. I want to see them as tag team champions. I think they would be phenomenal tag team champions. You know, Steve Austin is the wild card right now. And, you know, I know everybody is talking about Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens one-on-one in a match. Me, personally, and don't get me wrong, I was a fan of Steve Austin in the ring, 59 years old. Would Steve Austin on the Kevin Owens show at WrestleMania be a better fit instead of an advertised one-on-one? You know, so that is still up in the air. I mean, my gut feeling tells me it'll be an actual match, but why not put Steve Austin on the Kevin Owens show? Then you can have, you know, something happen and Steve Austin, you know, lays the boots on KO, hits him with the stunner, takes some beers, doesn't have to take his shirt off, you know. So there's a few things I think that come into Steve Austin's favor if they don't do the one-on-one match. So we will see. We will see. So let's also talk about a very, very cool appearance tonight. Now, I originally had this photo to show everybody tonight, but then WWE gave us this one. Tommaso Ciampa, can't call him an old man anymore. This is sponsored by Just for Men, hair color, beards, mustache, hair dye. WWE had Tommaso Ciampa dye the beard. He is tan as a mofo. Tommaso Ciampa looks like a WWE superstar. He appeared on Raw tonight, teamed up with Finn Balor, and I am continually loving all the NXT cross promotions. That's something that we talked about for 2 years. This is what we talked about February of 2020. NXT going back to its roots, getting rid of the bloated contracts, building the stars of tomorrow, having a couple of veterans there to help the young stars of tomorrow along the way. You don't have to have veterans, just be coaches. And Ciampa, you know, they feel that Ciampa now could kind of go to the next level. So tonight on Raw, Ciampa teamed up with Finn Balor. Finn Balor showing love to NXT, a little bit of respect to Tommaso Ciampa. And they teamed up to beat the Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. Now, when we get to the preview of NXT tomorrow, we have Dolph Ziggler and Tommaso Ciampa going at it. And yes, my gut feeling tells me that Ciampa will probably lose to Ziggler tomorrow, because I think fans would be interested to see Ziggler take on Bron Breakker. Not saying that Breakker versus Ciampa rematch wouldn't be good, unless there's some clusterfuck finish tomorrow and it turns into a three-way. That is possible. It's very possible. But Ciampa got a nice reaction tonight. You know, I mean, look, guy's been on TV before, not just NXT, so it's not like, you know, he's a rookie. But, you know, Corey Graves saying this has got to be a massive upset because Balor and Ciampa won against Ziggler and Roode. Yes, they were tag team champions. But, you know, Ciampa is a former tag team champion, heavyweight champion. Balor, universal champion. I didn't think it was that much of an upset, but, you know, that's how the commentators wanted to play it off. So nice to see Ciampa make an appearance tonight on Raw. Let me just put my little Ciampa timestamp here. All right. Talk about a few other things with Raw tonight. We had Brock Lesnar open up the show. The guy is high-fiving little kids. He is smiling. He is almost dancing on the announcer's table. He's laughing. We're not used to this Brock Lesnar. I mean, it looks like he's having a good time. I mean, he's getting paid a lot more money now than what he was getting even 5 years ago. But Brock Lesnar comes out there and, you know, he is so comfortable on the mic now. And the crowd is chanting Suplex City. And before Brock could really, you know, tout his win and taking on Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman interrupts. And the crowd is chanting, you suck, to Paul Heyman. And Brock joins the chant. And then Paul Heyman, the special counsel of the tribal chief, does not suck. And then what was funny, Paul Heyman calls Roman Reigns the real WWE champion. Paul Heyman is there on Raw out of love for their 20-year friendship and business relationship. And he reminds Brock Lesnar, farm boy, that your road to WrestleMania is not complete. On March 5th in Madison Square Garden, you have a match. You have to get past Bobby Lashley. Hold that thought with Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley right now is undergoing concussion protocol. If Bobby Lashley is not cleared by doctors for concussion protocol, then Paul Heyman will find a suitable replacement for Brock Lesnar. Brock then gets on a mic. He says he could still appreciate Paul, even though he can be such a dick. Was not censored. I'm sure everybody on social media, he said dick. And then Paul says he'll see Brock at the Garden. And Brock does one better. Brock says, Paul, where do you think I'm going to be Friday? And Paul Heyman's like, Saskatchewan? And Brock is like, no, I'm going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania, SmackDown. So Brock Lesnar is going to be on SmackDown. I'll tell you, the number of appearances that Brock Lesnar is making gives me more of an opinion that I think Brock is winning at WrestleMania. Because I've heard from a few people that Roman wants some time off. But, you know, to see Brock making this many, I mean, the guy is making an insane amount of money right now. And it seems like he's having fun. Seems like he's having fun. So Brock will be on SmackDown Friday. Now, before I go any further, let's mention Bobby Lashley for a minute. Now, we talked about it yesterday in great detail. So here's a little bit more of an update from yesterday. All right. For those that didn't tune into the show yesterday, just to summarize it, Bobby Lashley got injured at the Royal Rumble. And since the Royal Rumble, WWE knew that he's got a serious problem with his shoulder. Early MRI, I don't know if it's torn, but he's got a legitimate shoulder injury. There was no way that he could compete at Elimination Chamber. So the storyline, if you remember the scenario we talked about the day of the Elimination Chamber, it pretty much was spot on that Seth Rollins inadvertently cost Bobby Lashley the WWE Championship, and that'll be a storyline revisited down the line. Now, Bobby Lashley, when he appears on WWE television again, will address WWE officials that they took him out of the match, that it was not his doing. And look, in hindsight, WWE did the right thing. They had to take the belt off of Bobby Lashley, but they didn't do it by having him get pinned or submit. So by force, it almost, that seems like the storyline. Now, Bobby Lashley went to, is it Alabama? Birmingham, Alabama. I believe that's where they do all the show. Remember Dr. James Andrews? Whenever you heard back in the day that a wrestler was going to see Dr. James Andrews, you knew it wasn't good. So Bobby Lashley is having more tests done to see the severity of the injury and what the options are. Bobby Lashley is not going to compete on March 5th at Madison Square Garden. They're going to continue the storyline. For all my fellow New Yorkers here, I promise you all, my fellow New Yorkers here are not going to bitch and complain, say, oh, they advertised Bobby Lashley. I paid to see Bobby Lashley. Where's Bobby Lashley? Where's the... No, we just want to be entertained. But we pretty much know now Bobby Lashley will not be competing at Madison Square Garden. Concussion protocol is a storyline. Shoulder is not storyline. Yes, Mark, the great Dr. James Andrews. You want to know something, Lauren? If you're going, I'm actually likely going to be going. I had a few friends invite me. Pretty decent seats. I think there was section 101 or 102. I don't know. But I said, you know, if I'm not doing anything on March 5th, and honestly, I don't see myself doing anything on March 5th. So if any of you are going to Madison Square Garden, let me know. Maybe we could all, like, meet up in the lobby. You know, fist bumps. Fist bumps. Now, the good thing about it is COVID restrictions are changing. And because the UK is lifting all their restrictions on Thursday, a lot of people here locally think that we may hear something from our governor further lifting restrictions. So, you know, I know a lot of people that still wear a mask. You do what you feel comfortable. If you still feel a little bit of an elevated risk, then you wear the mask. Don't let anybody say to you, what the fuck are you wearing a mask for? It's almost over. You know, don't listen to them. Do what makes you feel comfortable. They're not broadcasting this on Peacock. It would not surprise me if they do show a couple little clips. I would think whoever Brock Lesnar F5s and beats the crap out of in 60 seconds in Madison Square Garden, it probably will be televised in some capacity. And you know what? In the age of iPhones, there's going to be a tons of footage of it anyway. So tons of footage. So that's how we closed out the opening of Raw tonight. We talked about Rollins and Owens. We had Chad Gable and Otis. Oh, thank you. Shush. They beat the Street Profits once again. I'm not concerned about the Street Profits. Somebody has to lose right now. But this match, not a bad match. Typical Raw match, but the closing points of the match. Montez Ford actually tried to body slam Otis. But Chad Gable outside the ring grabs Montez's foot. Just think of sort of the Ultimate Warrior versus Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby Heenan. Sort of the same. But Otis falls on Montez Ford. Montez can't kick out because Chad Gable has his foot. And they retain the tag titles. So thank you. Oh, my God. Are we going to get an appearance by Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? They got to do it. They got to do something with Chad Gable and Kurt Angle. You don't pass this up. We have no idea what a year from now is going to look like. Strike while the iron is hot. Give us something between the two. Just give us something. Don't feel bad for the Street Profits. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Not everybody gets a chance to shine. You know, it's this year, you know, they'll probably be more the MC, you know, with the cups and hype and everything. Look, it's, they'll get their due. Don't worry. No worries. So as I said earlier, Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa beating Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. This leads into NXT tomorrow, and I'll give you the preview for NXT in a little bit. Just to fill in the blanks a little bit tonight. We gave a little teaser earlier with Logan Paul. How this went down, Miz hits the ring, Miz TV, and he's going to bring out who his new tag team partner is going to be. He trashes the crowd. You want everything that I have. And Rey Mysterio and him have a lot in common. And Rey does cheat to win. Now, when Dominic was confronting Miz tonight, did anybody in the back of their mind think that Dominic was going to turn around and lay out his father? I'm not saying that. I mean, look, I spent an hour yesterday trying to make the perfect, you know, thumbnail with like Logan Paul on it and something. I was trying to think of something catchy as well. I don't do all that if I think that Dominic's just going to turn on Ray and join up with The Miz. But he's teasing who his partner is going to be, and he's planting little seeds to fuck with the internet wrestling community and those watching at home. You know, that it's going to be Cody Rhodes, and he uses the term dashing. And then Rey Mysterio and Dominic interrupt him, and Rey basically says, whoever you choose, send them back where they came from, whatever outsider it is. Give this spot to somebody at WrestleMania that earned it or deserves it. And then Dominic gets into Miz's face. And you could tell Dominic is still not very good on the mic. Like, if you listen to his promo again and watch it again, for the first 80% of it, it was a little bit like, and then the last 20%, I was like, okay. I can picture creative in the back. They're like, all right, that's how it came across. And Miz introduces his partner, and it's Logan Paul. And I know there's a lot of people online that don't like Logan Paul. Like I said, he's an advertisement, social media, you know, megastar, whatever. That's why he's on there. For wrestling fans, we don't give a shit. He's going to get his ass kicked from Dominic and Rey. There's no way that Miz and Logan Paul are winning that match. That's the reason why they chose Logan Paul. And once Rey and Dominic realized that he chose Logan Paul, Dominic's like, yeah, we'll take the match. And Rey's like, yeah, of course. So they agree to the match. And then the next thing you know, Miz and Logan Paul attack Rey and Dominic. Logan Paul hits the skull-crushing finale on Dominic. Miz hits the skull-crushing finale on Rey, leaves them laying, and wrestling fans are pissed. So as much as we don't like Logan Paul, I guess we could say he did his job. He did his job. Rhea Ripley versus Nikki Ash. Man, I'm a little sick of this now. The only thing different now, Nikki with a little bit extra jaw-jacking. I am a superhero. You are nothing. Crack in the face. Gets suplexed. Rhea Ripley with a beautiful suplex. As they say in wrestling, letting Nikki think about it for about 20 seconds. Has her upside down. Drops her in the ring. Nikki rolls out. She's yelling at the announcers team that Rhea is a bully. He's a bully. And Corey Graves, hilarious because, you know, we always say it on this show. You know, they're asking, like, I think it might have been Byron. I think he said to Corey, like, you know, like, why is she at the announce table? And Corey's like, don't ask me. I don't understand Scottish. I don't understand about 90% of what she said. So what ends up happening, Rhea Ripley with the Riptide, 1, 2, 3, match over. Undertaker video package. We talked about it in great detail yesterday. It was a lot of fun talking about Undertaker in the Hall of Fame. You know, look, you know, it's not 100% that Undertaker's going to go in with others. As I said yesterday, I would prefer other people to go into the Hall of Fame as well. Undertaker will be the headliner. I personally don't think you pass up a whole year worth of Hall of Fame when there's so many people that are deserving to go in. But as of right now, all the focus is on the Undertaker. It's still 6 weeks left to WrestleMania. They got plenty of time to announce others. But they did the video package that we saw at Elimination Chamber. And, you know, this was the little montage that I came up with. And, yes, it passes YouTube protocol. You know, I made this myself. No music, no sound. That's where you get yourself in trouble more than anything. But The Undertaker, beautiful career. Check out yesterday's show. A lot of great discussion, a lot of comments. Everybody giving their thoughts, who you want to see induct The Undertaker into the WWE Hall of Fame. Me, I would love to see it be Vince McMahon, who I believe it'll be or who should be. It'll probably be Kane. It's got to be Kane. I think it's going to be Kane that's going to do it. A lot of great ideas from all of you, from Triple H to Shawn Michaels to Mick Foley. There's a lot of choices out there. But for me, I probably would go with Kane. And remember, the Hall of Fame ceremony is going to take place right after SmackDown that night. Now, What's happening with Rampage that night? I dare. See, and I'm not trying to be a wise ass right now. We're going to talk about Tony Khan in a little bit. Tony Khan with the Cracker Jack box, once again, teasing a massive surprise. Massive. Did not mention Forbidden Door. This time he said massive. And I got an idea that I want to share with you later. And you tell me if you think, DT, I think you're a little bit loony with this idea, but maybe not. Maybe not. But, you know, remember the last time that SmackDown went a half hour over because they taped tribute to the troops? Tony Khan had a meltdown on social media because SmackDown was going head-to-head with Rampage for half an hour. I dare Tony Khan to bitch about them airing the Hall of Fame, albeit on Peacock and the WWE Network and a few other outlets. We'll get into it next week. But I dare Tony Khan to call out WWE for airing another half an hour while Rampage is on. There ain't no way. I mean, look, Tony Khan's a wrestling fan. There ain't no way he's going to disrespect The Undertaker. Definitely won't. So, nice package by WWE. I love it. Little Metallica put in there as well. So, you can't go wrong with that. Then we had interesting match go down today. Did WWE do all that Incredible Hulk with Damian Priest looking constipated, pissed off on his face, DQ wins? Did they do it because they knew it was going to piss this off? This motherfucker keeps getting disqualified. Did they do that intentionally to get the fans against Damian Priest? Do you think that WWE intentionally is trying to turn Damian Priest into heel? Or did the crowd today just pretty much express to Damian Priest, no, we don't like you as a babyface? He took on Shelton Benjamin tonight. We had Let's Go Shelton chants during the match. But not only that, every time Damian Priest teased that he was a little bit constipated, the crowd booed. They did not like it at all. We had one moment towards the end of the match where Cedric Alexander tried to climb the rope, got nailed by Damian Priest. We get a little teaser. You know, we think Shelton might get a win out of it, hits a T-bone for a two count, but Damian Priest ultimately hits the reckoning for the win. Then Damian Priest gets on the mic. He gives credit to Shelton Benjamin because Shelton at least came out there and fought like a man. He talks about all the champions he's beaten, champion calibers. It's WrestleMania season. Next week, he's volunteering his U.S. title as somebody who is world champion chip caliber. Finn Balor comes out. Finn Balor says, be careful what you wish for. I'll see you next week. So next week we got Finn Balor versus Damian Priest for the United States Championship. Maybe Finn Balor gets Damian Priest over the edge as a heel. I don't know if it was organic, if that was planned all along, but the crowd was not into Damian Priest tonight. And if that was not planned by WWE the last month or two, good. WWE should learn that all that bullshit, you know, there's nothing that good that was going to come out of that. It made Damian Priest look like a goof. He looked like a goof, especially after he wins and he's got the smile on his face. Reggie. Still no crowd reaction. Came out after all of these weeks of skits. He comes out there with the 24/7 title. He jumps off that Kalisto Sin Cara thing, whatever that, you know, that boomerang, whatever that platform. He's in the ring, no crowd reaction. Maybe a little, but almost none. He gets on the microphone, gets the what chants from the crowd, and he wants to make right what happened last week with Dana Brooke. So he calls out Dana Brooke, who, in my opinion, is trying to do her best to look like Charlotte Light. She comes out, and sure enough, remember, Reggie got declined for wanting to take the relationship to the next level. So he is doing his Kevin Nash impersonation. He's telling Dana, pin me, and you could have the 24/7 championship. The first time Dana Brooke goes to pin him, he kicks out. He's just kidding around. Second time, Dana goes to pin him. He kicks out again. He's trying to be funny. So Dana Brooke has a better idea. I'll just kiss him. I'll just kiss him. And give Reggie what he wants. And while she is kissing Reggie, he actually has his shoulders pinned to the mat. And Dana Brooke, once again, is your 24/7 champion. You remember the first week of that storyline when she won the title? I said they got to do a kiss storyline where... I thought it was going to be Reggie kissing Dana Brooke, that he goes to kiss her, but while he's doing that, she gets pinned. So we actually got the kiss pin tonight. The kiss pin that I've been wanting for weeks, but in reverse. Motherfucker, Dana Brooke is the 24/7 champion again. The only thing that I liked about that tonight was Tozawa. Now, is this sexual harassment? I know. I'm not trying to trigger anybody. I'm not trying to stir anything up. This is entertainment purposes. This isn't real life. But yeah, Tozawa thought. Now, are we going to see Reggie and Dana and Tozawa and Tamina go on a double date? I'm not saying I want it. I'm just trying to think in WWE terms. Are we going to see that? But we got the kiss pin tonight, which kind of made me happy because that was something that I wanted to see for a while. So, oh yeah, here's your gratuitous pose with Logan Paul, you know, just to piss some people off. We talked about Edge in the ring. We hope that it'll be with AJ Styles. Doudrop. Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch. Anybody that tunes into our show every week, you know that Mish and I are big fans of Piper Niven, Doudrop. After watching Doudrop the last couple of weeks, I think, and this might sound like Captain Obvious, but I think we figured out what Doudrop's true worth is in WWE. If Doudrop was 50 or maybe 100 pounds lighter, would she be in that company? I think she is in that company right now that when you have a very strong female wrestler that could pick her up, babyface, that just puts over that person as superhuman. Rhea Ripley picking up Doudrop, Liv Morgan teasing it a little bit. You have Bianca Belair not only powerbombing Doudrop today, but hitting the KOD as well. So this is, and I'm not trying to be nasty here. It almost feels like Doudrop is the more talented professional version of Nia Jax. Now, anybody that tunes into these shows know that I am a Nia Jax fan. I'm a little bit disappointed about her comments stirring the pot about the COVID injection stuff. But it almost feels like, you know, Doudrop's worth is her weight more than anything. I know that sounds a little bit terrible. Believe me, I'm a fan of Doudrop's. But it almost feels like Doudrop is best served, not with potatoes and vegetables. Doudrop is best served against Bianca, Rhea, somebody who could do what is perceived some superhuman feat of strength, because you remember that years from now. We've seen that, and that's how it comes across to me. Doudrop is extremely talented in the ring. She had a banger with Rhea Ripley last week. Tonight, we had, and let's go one step back. We had Rhea Ripley with Nikki A.S.H. earlier from the Elimination Chamber. Liv Morgan was on 205. Main event. Liv was on Main Event today. I'll get to the Main Event spoilers. Actually, I'll give it to you now. Liv Morgan over Queen Zelina and Veer Mahan over Apollo Crews. That's your Main Event results. But so we had everybody pretty much from the chamber out there today. Bianca Belair hits the ring, and she's talking about WrestleMania, and she brings up the 26 seconds, and she talks about everything that she has done to get to this point, and she can't wait to go back to WrestleMania, defeat Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. Then you have Becky Lynch coming out. They have a little bit of back and forth, and Becky Lynch, you know, a little bit relieved, you know, after what happened with Lita. But, you know, I got to say this about Lita. I don't know if you caught it. Becky Lynch said something on commentary today that caught my eye, and I was like, I hope this is not the case. Remember what we said about Lita, that we hope that it's not just the Saudi payday. She's earned that payday. But we hoped that there's more to it. We want to see something at Mania. We want to see, you know, a little bit of a run. And the big question is, let's see what happens after the chamber. Bianca Belair on commentary made a remark today and said, because there's Becky Lynch, there can be no Lita. And this was the discussion about her defeating Lita Elimination Chamber. The way Becky Lynch said it, because Becky is there, there is no Lita. And it really came across like, I don't know if we're going to see Lita again. She might be at WrestleMania, and she might be there to mingle and everything like that, but I don't know if she's getting a match. I hope, but I'm not convinced. Not convinced right now. You know, look, I know a lot of people were saying Melina versus Sasha. You and I talked about Sasha and Bayley versus Zelina and Carmella at WrestleMania. I was thinking about it the other day. I'd be fine with Lita and Trish versus Queen Zelina and Carmella at Mania. And then you could lead to Sasha and Bayley versus Lita and Trish after. But I don't think that's too much fantasy. Too much fantasy. So what ends up happening, Bianca mentions in her promo that she's taking on Doudrop tonight. So Doudrop comes out for the match. Becky goes on commentary. And it was pretty funny because as Bianca Belair was getting in a lot of impressive offense against Doudrop, Becky started getting nervous. She takes off the jacket. It's a little hot in here. Yeah, I'm a little parched. Is there any water around? And she's acting like, you know, very, very concerned. Doudrop gets the upper hand in the match. And now Becky is like, okay, a little bit better, you know. But then in the end, you see Bianca Belair with the powerbomb off the middle. Well, Doudrop was on the middle rope. Bianca powerbombs her. But what was cool about it is, and you see this a lot in women's matches, in AEW and WWE, somebody will climb the middle rope in women's wrestling. So a woman will climb the middle rope, and then somebody will go underneath them, pick them up, and then just drop them. We saw that last week with Mercedes Martinez and Thunder Rosa. And if you remember, it looked a little scary. But in this case, not only did Bianca pick up Doudrop, she walked all the way across to the other side of the ring before dropping her. And there's the feat of strength that everybody was going nuts for. And then she hits the KOD on top of it. So Bianca gets the win. Becky Lynch looks concerned. You know, when they cut their back and forth promo, you know, Becky Lynch is accusing Bianca Belair of having the fans turn on Becky because of Bianca. She said that at SummerSlam that the fans loved her and she came back at SummerSlam, but because Becky beat Bianca at SummerSlam, they all turned on her. And because of Bianca, they all despise Becky. And she despises Bianca. And this is not Bianca's redemption story. This is Becky's redemption story at WrestleMania. Again, all those freaking seeds planted. Even after Bianca won the match and Becky's standing on the announcer's table, 500 days, nobody's beaten me in 500 days. And you realize everything that has transpired since SummerSlam, you know, and I brought it up yesterday. You know, this was something where WWE, I truly believe, you know, sat down with Bianca last year and said, listen, don't worry about it. You'll get your moment back. And this was all set up for WrestleMania. That storyline went on for about 8 months. And a lot of you out there paid attention to it. A lot of people out there did not. So the main event tonight, we had Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens defeat RK-Bro. And with the win, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens will be part of the tag team title match in 2 weeks. Excellent back and forth match. Seth Rollins pretty much playing the heel along with Kevin Owens. Now, Kevin Owens verbally more snide, reminding everyone tonight how much Dallas, Texas sucks. Texas is a crap hole. But in this match, towards the end, Randy Orton was outside the ring. Seth Rollins hits the curb stomp outside the ring. So Randy's done. Randy's out. So now you realize, okay, this is it for Riddle. So Riddle trying to get some offense, and Seth Rollins picks him up, does the buckle bomb. Kevin Owens plants his finisher, and Riddle is pinned. Riddle looking for Randy, but Randy's laid out outside the ring. And as a result, you have Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens added to this match. Shout out to Andy Moreno. Mish did not appear last week or this week. That doesn't mean that he is eliminated from Mondays. You know, shit happens, man. Life gets in the way. I mean, it happens. You know, I'm not mad at him in any way. You know, the only thing that gets a little difficult is when you're told 15 minutes before showtime. You know, like I say, for 5 days, you're planning debates and discussions, and then 15 minutes before the show, I can't make it. You know, things do come up last minute, but it's all good. It's all good. We're having a fun show. I get to end a little bit earlier. So, no, I didn't fire him, and he didn't quit. But, you know, obviously, you know, this was a little bit difficult tonight, but it's all good. So, with the win, in 2 weeks we get the tag team title match. Do we get a title change? Very possible. Very possible. I want to see what happens with Owens and Rollins. You know, Steve Austin, he didn't screw anything up, didn't put a monkey wrench in anything, but that dynamic is very interesting because, look, Seth Rollins deserves a high-profile match at WrestleMania. If Kevin Owens takes on Austin, who does Rollins face? The only person I could think of is Damian Priest, which is actually something we talked about yesterday. So, yeah, I got to put a Blue Wire logo on here, too. Like I said, I changed things last minute. So it was very, very spur of the moment tonight. So that was your episode of Raw tonight. I already gave you main event results. So let's get into couple other tidbits. Let's get out of here. Want to mention some from Impact, Tony Khan, preview for NXT and preview for AEW. First off, Impact Wrestling, here is your ratings, some of your ratings from this week. Just keep in mind that Rampage, and I'll get to some questions and super chats in a couple of moments as well. Keep in mind that Rampage and SmackDown's ratings will not be out until tomorrow. Today is President's Day here in the United States, so a lot of places were closed for the most part. But Impact Wrestling, again, on a decline, dropping almost 7% down to 109,000 viewers. Dynamite last week, as we talked about last Thursday, major hit, 23% drop. NXT up 31%, but that is inflated because of Sci-Fi and Raw, the same thing last week. So you really can't look at those huge jumps and think, oh, they're on a momentum. That was more of because of, you know, the switch to sci-fi due to the Olympics. I do know that Rampage's perceived number coming in is lower, but you keep in mind, they also aired this week at 7 p.m. That's not the normal time slot. Although I think a lot of people out there wish they had that time slot. Remember my prediction this year that Rampage either moves to Saturday nights or gets a lower time slot, 7 p.m. So we'll see. But Impact, I'm concerned about Impact because, you know, I still think there'll be more Forbidden Door with WWE. But Impact, outside of the Mickey James buzz, they are in the mud. They are doing this Ring of Honor storyline. Eddie Edwards, what did he do? I know Don West is not part of Impact, but the point is, you know, it's they may perceive it to be a huge story, but for casual wrestling fans, it's not generating any buzz whatsoever. And I want to share something with you, something that I pulled myself. One year ago, Impact Wrestling's ratings were 45% higher. And before you ask, AEW was not a part of it because the Impact Wrestling results from 1 year ago that was almost 50% higher in ratings. TJP, listen to this card. TJP over Josh Alexander to retain the X Division Championship. Trey Miguel over Willie Mack, Suicide, and Daivari in a fatal four-way. Matt Cardona over Hernandez. Finn Juice over Reno Scum. Tennille Dashwood over Nevaeh. And Moose over Tommy Dreamer in an old-school rules match. Nothing against those people. But you realize two things when you hear that card. Does any of them feel like that they've really advanced to a different level? I know Moose is champion, but you look at that card. If that card aired this week on Impact, I don't think anybody would question it. 1 year later, it doesn't feel like much has changed for a lot of those wrestlers. The second thing is this. You look at AEW's involvement, and I've said this many times over the last year. AEW, unless Impact had some numbers that they were in jeopardy of shutting down or they thought mega disaster in ratings, they put the belt on Kenny Omega and they put the belt on Christian Cage. And I'm not saying that either one of them didn't do a good job. They did a fine job. But as we said for a year, that sent a message to their own roster that nobody on that roster was worthy enough to be their champion. And a lot of Impact Wrestling fans who are not AEW fans also got that message that Impact Wrestling, to get the rub from AEW, put the belt on them. That's why I felt, why you look at Jay White. With all due respect, is Jay White going to move the needle in the ratings department for AEW? That's not a knock on Jay White, but it almost feels like Jay White was on Rampage because Impact was doing a pay-per-view this weekend. Oh, we get a little buzz. Oh, you want more of Jay White? Tune into the pay-per-view. That's what it feels like. And it just sends the wrong message, in my honest opinion. That's a case where the Forbidden Door can not hit you on the ass, in the ass, while it's closing. So, NXT tomorrow, we have the second Dusty Rhodes Cup taking place this year, the women's side now. The brackets have been announced, and I have my predictions that I'm going to share with you. First off, tomorrow, LA Knight versus Grayson Waller. We have Dolph Ziggler versus Tommaso Ciampa, and I believe the winner will get an NXT championship match against Bron Breakker at a later date. And then we have the beginnings of the Dusty Classic. Here is the brackets without my predictions. Let me take a little slug of water. Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray versus Lash Legend and Amari Miller on the left side. You also have on the left side, Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley versus Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. On the right side brackets, you have Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta versus Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai. Very interesting tag team there. Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez versus Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feroz. So those are your brackets. Now, my predictions, I will keep them simple. I think Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray will beat Lance Legend and Amari Miller. I believe Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley will beat Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Then Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray will defeat Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley. So Shirai and Kaylee Ray will go to the finals. On the right side, I think that Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai will beat Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta. It's going to be a really oddball tag team. I think that it's going to be a lot of comedy fodder with Chu and Dakota Kai. I think Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez will beat Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feroz. The next round would have Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai losing to Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez. And then the final would be Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray. And I'm going with Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez to win the Dusty Classic and go on to face Toxic Attraction for the tag belts. So those are my quick predictions. AEW Dynamite this week, not much announced. We do know that Jade Cargill will defend the TBS title, finally on TBS, smart move, against the Bunny. Memorable tag team, memorable women's championship run she's having right now if you look at her opponents. When are they going to start beefing up the opponents a little bit? We're going to have Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho have a face-to-face. This should lead to a match between the two at the next pay-per-view. Then we're going to have Pac and Penta versus the House of Black. And, you know, some people think Buddy Murphy may appear. I'm wondering if, you know, we get a little swerve in that match. We will see. And then we got the Tag Team Battle Royal. Remember, this week, the winner of the Tag Team Battle Royal will go on to Revolution as part of a three-way for the tag titles. Next week will be a Casino Battle Royale. And the winners next week will go on to the pay-per-view. So the teams tomorrow, you could see them on the screen, 2.0, Santana and Ortiz. We have the Dark Order, FTR, the Young Bucks, Private Party, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. We got the Butcher and the Blade. I'm looking, I think the Gun Club are in there, and Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta. So that is the Tag Team Battle Royal for tomorrow. So let me get into some super chats and some questions in the chat. We'll spend a couple of those. We're at an hour and 9 minutes. So what we'll do is we'll spend about 10, 15 minutes answering questions, live questions, and then we'll call it a night. So first, before we go any further. Yes, Bob the Builder, as you said earlier, we had some Cody teases tonight. You know, I want to let you all know something. Don't read too much into it. Cody Rhodes, on his Twitter right now, is liking a lot of AEW-related tweets. Don't read too much into it. Look at the context of the tweets, and you'll understand why he's doing it. But some people are seeing that, and he's only liking AEW-related tweets, and some people are thinking that, oh, this is storyline, there's a swerve, this is that. You know, you might find it interesting if you look at his social media, but I don't read too much into it. He's got a lot of friends in wrestling and a lot of friends in AEW, and he's not going to turn on his friends. And he hasn't even been announced yet for WWE. Hell, they could still be in negotiations, and they probably are still in negotiations. So until then, he's not allowed to like what he wants to like. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Ronnie, thank you very much. Sent me a little something since my partner bailed out last minute. I don't know if I would call it bailed out. Look, things happen, man. It could be simple computer problems. I mean, it could be anything. you know, gets a little, like I said, a little difficult in the planning department because, you know, you have so many debates and discussions planned for days. I usually, you know, it's good to know earlier so I could, you know, change up accordingly. But I think we had a great show anyway. So not complaining. In the end, it all works out. James Campbell, Edge mentioned stepping up as well. Could we also see the possibility of Austin Theory or Veer Mahan taking on Edge? Hell no. Edge is going to probably take on AJ Styles. See, look, you want the big money match. Could Veer, look, we may have an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I wouldn't be surprised if Austin Theory or Veer won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, if they do it. So don't discount that. I'm telling you, Austin Theory, you know, beautiful, beautiful performance at Elimination Chamber. We knew that he was going to get the crap knocked out of him. But in doing that, he won over a lot of fans. And the same with Madcap Moss. We feel bad for Moss because that was a, you know, it was a scary moment. But, you know, he continued the match, stuck it out, you know. Hopefully, so far, no injury from us. Just knocked for a loop a little bit. But, you know, Veer, I was told within 2 to 3 weeks, tops, Veer will make his Raw debut. They're not waiting until Mania. He will make his debut within 2 to 3 weeks. So who knows? Next week on Raw, they may announce that Veer is going to make his long-awaited Raw debut. And, man, I hope to God he comes out to massive cheers, because if he comes out to nothing after all of this, man, that's got to be crying. But you want to know something again, and I'm still baffled at this. How come fans that are there live that see Veer competing on main event, how come nobody is recording his entrance? Let's get an idea of what the crowd reaction is when he comes out. Because when you see main event, a lot of times the music is so loud, and sometimes part of the entrance is cut off. You really can't really get a good grasp on it. I want to see what that kind of reaction is happening right now, even tonight. I'm going to, believe me, tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to look online, and hopefully I'll be able to find some footage to see what kind of reaction he's getting from the fans. The worst you want to have happen is indifference right now. And Dennis Slusher II, might be a wet dream, but what if Austin and Kevin Owens happens at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins interferes, and we get a handicap match later on? It's not a bad idea for one reason, and you got to go back and think of Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch. And I know a lot of people hated me for saying it back then, but when they announced Becky versus Ronda one-on-one, I said on these shows, it's got to be a three-way. It's got to be a three-way. Even though Ronda had come a long way and was doing great in the ring, you know, shit could happen. Anything could happen, and it's WrestleMania. By having Charlotte in that match, if Ronda, you know, something is not working, little brain fart, injury, anything, you know, Ronda could take a little bit of a break. And then Charlotte and Becky could do what they do best. And Charlotte ended up being in that match, and it was a three-way, and sure enough, the end still was kind of messed up. And take note how WWE never revisited that pin. Told you. But here, this might be the same mindset, that if there's any concern whatsoever that Steve Austin, you know, maybe he's not going to look as good, or what if, you know, something happens in the match. If you make it a three-way, then somebody could pick up the slack while Austin is laid out or something. You know, they could put him to a table. They could, something could happen. So having a three-way is not that bad of an idea. It's not a bad idea at all. It's just the marquee, if it's one-on-one, you know, it's not that easy to just throw another person in there. That's why I think the Kevin Owens show would be so much better. Kevin Owens show, absolutely. I mean, you would think the tag titles should be defended at WrestleMania. If Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins win those belts, do you not have a tag title match at WrestleMania, and instead Kevin Owens hosts the Kevin Owens show and Seth Rollins is in the ring as well, and then Austin ends up stomping mud holes in both of them? I don't know. I don't know. So, we are at 1 hour and 16 minutes. Let's spend about 10 minutes. I'm going to hang out in the chat with all of you. And if you are going to ask a question, just put a letter Q before your question so I could it stands out to me. And something that I could just answer rapido, not something that, you know, I have to do a lot of thinking. No research either. Lauren, I have not been to an AEW show yet. I was invited to one, couldn't make it. I was going to go to the Jersey one. In fact, I was looking at front row tickets. A few of you out there could vouch for me because you weren't going to hang out as well, and COVID screwed that up. And then the one in Queens, a lot of people that supposedly were my friend that said, oh, when AEW, we could all get together. And then they came to Queens, and I didn't get one phone call from anybody. Hey, you going to come down and hang out? I mean, I'm not going to go where I'm not invited. So it was all good. Just waiting for some questions to come in. Let it be wrestling related tonight. I know I normally don't say that, but Brock taking selfies, high-fiving fans, a sign of the end times. Listen, man, I watched his appearance on Pat McAfee. And look, you know what you get with Brock. As long as the money keeps coming in, he'll keep doing what he's doing for WWE. But, you know, Brock Lesnar, I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there that were very disturbed by Brock Lesnar's appearance on Pat McAfee, especially when he talked about how he likes to slaughter animals, that he likes to kill his own animals, and he wanted to open a butcher shop. Now he has his own seasoning. You know, when you say you like to grind your own meat, all right, I get that. Some people out there do buy, you know, like a piece of steak, and you have your home grinder, and you like fresh chopped meat. Brock, it's different. Brock is like, honey, look what I brought home. He didn't go to, you know, Stop and Shop. He didn't go to Amazon Fresh. No, he went into the woods and killed an elk or a bear or something. Like, honey, I'm going to be in the shed. Gonna make some steaks for the weekend. That's pretty wild, man. That's pretty wild. Pretty wild. Rojo Bear, happy anniversary, my friend. 13 unlucky months as a member. By the way, I didn't forget about the Tony Khan thing. I'm going to share with you right now, but let's get a couple of questions going first. Rojo Bear, much love, my friend. Thank you, as always, for the support. Very much appreciated. Sam is asking, what was my crazy idea from the start of the show? Oh, okay. I'll bring it up now. Tony Khan. Now, look, I'm not making fun of the guy, but I have used the analogy that Tony Khan has got to stop treating AEW like a Cracker Jack box. You and I, everybody, we love surprises. You love when you were a kid to open up a Cracker Jack box to see what the toy surprise was inside. How many of you out there, like me as a kid, would ask our parents to buy certain types of cereal, not because it tasted good, but because it came with nice toys inside? Christmas time, you don't want to know what's in the gifts. You want to open it up and be surprised. You buy a pack of cards. You open up the cards and you hope to get a surprise autograph. You hope to get a surprise. We all love surprises. But you don't want to have 100, 200, 300,000 fans tuning in just because of the surprise factor. Because 1 week later, last week's card was strong. And they went down 23.5%. And Tony Khan has got to stop worrying about the forbidden door and start worrying about the revolving door. You know, you can't just keep doing surprise. So this week, Tony Khan goes on Busted Open Radio and says this, quote, there will be a lot of news in the week ahead. I don't know if I'll get it done by tonight, but stay tuned in the week ahead, hopefully. I'm working on something pretty big. It would be massive. I don't know if it's what everybody would expect or think it is, but it would be a big deal in pro wrestling. I'm looking forward to hopefully making it happen. Stay tuned. I will hopefully get it done and have more to announce soon. Again, teasing the surprise. You know, when I said a year ago that he's turning into Dixie Carter, people thought I was nuts. Remember my Dixie Carter thumbnail? You know, one thing people need to understand, this is a very, very, very important point about AEW that I think a lot of people don't think about. Then I'll tell you my crazy idea. And this goes out to Matt, because Matt actually mentioned something about part of this yesterday, and I answered him, but I forgot to mention his name. But check this out. You get, let's just say, you get 1 million viewers a week on Dynamite. 1 million. Okay, 1 million. Let's be generous and say they average 1 million every week. Did you ever stop to ask yourself how many of those 1 million viewers also watch WWE? Now, you can't put a poll like that online, because fans that are diehard AEW, that are very, very biased towards AEW, that don't like WWE but watch WWE, they will not be honest. And look, I wouldn't be honest either. They're not going to go in a poll and say, yeah, I watch WWE also. A lot of these people that are really anti-WWE, they watch everything. A lot of shows out there that can't stand it in WWE, they watch everything. So you have to ask yourself privately, how many of those 1 million viewers also watch WWE programming? 500,000? Is that fair? I think that's pretty reasonable. 500,000, 600,000, 700,000? Why not? You have 2 million plus viewers on SmackDown. You're trying to tell me that not even 20%, 20% of the SmackDown viewership is 500,000 viewers. You're trying to tell me that less than 20% that watch SmackDown watch AEW? So when you pull away the number of wrestling fans that watch WWE as well, what are you left with? 500,000 viewers? And then you realize that some of them may be more into the surprises. Forbidden Door, surprise, surprise. Forbidden Door, surprise, surprise, announcement. And what are you left with? 350? 400,000? Now, don't quote me on these numbers, but this is something that you really got to take a step back and think about. Now, remember this also. I know we're in a recession right now, and I know money is tight for a lot of you out there. But you look at AEW Revolution. If they do 150,000 buys, that would be considered a tremendous success. Yes, you have people that'll watch illegal streams online. But you have 1 million viewers watching Dynamite, and only 150,000 of them buy the pay-per-view, that is only 15% of your entire audience. Where did the other 85% go? So you can't get even a third of your viewers to buy a pay-per-view. So you got to think of these things, and you can't keep relying on surprise, 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 surprise. Because you had 260,000 viewership drop last week, which makes no sense to me. There was nothing major going down in the Olympics. Putin didn't invade Ukraine last week. So what does that tell you? Oh, a lot of people tuned in the week earlier to see if it was going to be Jeff Hardy or Keith Lee or Shane McMahon in some people's eyes. So doing this now, here's my wild idea. Take note that Tony Khan never said Forbidden Door. Yesterday, Matt had sent a super chat and asking my thoughts on EC3 and Adam Scheer's new promotion, Control the Narrative. I don't have the banners here. I will show them to you on Wednesday. But they have a wrestling promotion now. And they're doing a show in Florida, I think beginning of March or the beginning of April. And it's run by Adam Scheer, who's Braun Strowman, and EC3. And I was thinking about it, and I said, you know, you think of what Tony Khan just said there, and he didn't mention Forbidden Door. and this does not sound like someone, an individual wrestling. Do you think it's possible that Tony Khan may be purchasing Ring of Honor, EC3 and Adam Shear's promotion, or could he become a partial owner in those companies? You know, help Ring of Honor rise from the dead. That would be pretty wild with the storylines going on in Impact Wrestling, but could Tony Khan be investing in another wrestling company? See, because the thing, the reason why I'm saying this could possibly happen is this is what Matt was talking about yesterday. Adam Shear, Braun Strowman, and EC3 are also teasing a TV deal. And I think that is nuts. Impact Wrestling can't get over 110,000 viewers. They have a fan base, albeit small. Control the Narrative has no fan base yet. You're going to do a TV deal without a loyal, proven fan base? What kind of viewership are you going to get? Those numbers are going to be pathetic. You think of even MLW, you think of some of these other promotions, they can't even get 60,000 viewers. So in my mind, EC3 and Adam Shear teasing a TV deal, I almost think it's going to be a fight streaming thing and not just, you know, like a Verizon Fios or a regular cable TV deal. So, but what if Tony Khan becomes 49% owner, whether it's that or Ring of Honor, and puts money into it, and those promotions kind of like use some of the wrestlers that don't get as much opportunity on AEW television simply because of time. So my crazy idea is maybe Tony Khan, his announcement is going to be purchasing or becoming partial owner in another wrestling company. Just an idea. Don't lambast me if I'm wrong. I know yesterday I said Indy 500 that Big E was driving a pace car, and you know I had a few people publicly and privately say, no, it was Daytona 500. Get it right. Get it right. Dennis Slusher. Slusher. I'm not making fun of your name. I just love slushies. That's one thing that sucks. I'm back on keto. If you notice me going like this, my skin got all messed up going off of keto. So I'm not on my allergy medicine. That's why if you see, I don't do drugs. My nose is a little itchy. But so I love slushies. I can go for a slushie right now. He knows it doesn't matter, but he feels like WWE needs AEW to succeed. Competition makes everybody better. Absolutely. Absolutely. As a wrestling fan, I want every promotion to be good. I want more reasons to like GCW. You know, some of it is okay. Some of it is cringe, to be honest with you. I want to get into New Japan a little bit more, but I need to feel the storylines. I don't need five-star matches. Five-star matches are great, but I want to invest in storylines. I want to be emotionally involved in storylines. I mean, I'm going to reveal something pretty disgusting right now, but, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, my grandmother, you know, she spoke Italian. And what she would do is she would come over on a Saturday and she would put on Telemundo because we didn't have the Italian cable channels here. We only had Spanish. Telemundo is what would air like AAA wrestling, Lucha Libre and stuff like that. But if anybody out there has ever watched Telemundo before, especially back in the 80s and the 90s, every girl wore a miniskirt. Every chick looked like she worked the streets. So she'd be there on Saturday, and I'd be like pretending like I'm doing my homework, and I'm just looking in the corner, and I see all these girls, and their tits are hanging out, and they're wearing all these men. It's a soap opera. I don't understand what they're saying. All I know is I like what I see. You know. So with New Japan, I don't understand what they're saying. I like what I see, but New Japan, it's opposite. I want to feel invested in storylines. I want to get angry at someone. I don't want just Tama Tonga to get his ass kicked simply because he's a prick on Twitter. I want to feel the storylines. I don't want to just see what I see on there and not understand anything. How many of you did that? Be honest. How many of you, when you were younger, did you watch the Spanish TV just to look at all the very revealing outfits that both sides, male and female, not just one-sided? Yeah, some of you are admitting it. Some of you are admitting it. Oh, I know they still do, Alex. I'm not stupid. Sometimes I put on Telemundo. You know, not for that. I mean, you know, especially in the age of the internet, you know, if you need a little bit of satisfaction, you know, I don't think Telemundo's the answer. I think you could just go a couple of clicks. Telemundo is not the only option, if you know what I mean. All right. So let's wrap this up. We're at 90 minutes. You know, as you notice, you know, I'm not trying to chomp on time, but we definitely want to keep these like 75 to 90 minutes. Once in a while, you know, perfect world, I'd love to bang out just a 60-minute show. This way, you know, everybody, you know, it's a better chance that everybody will be able to tune into more of the content. I don't expect you all to tune into 20 to 25 hours of shows that I do. I know there's other people out there that you enjoy as well, so I don't want to hog up the time. Now, I do want to let you know about something. If you've been under a rock and you're not aware of it yet, I am definitely looking forward to this. Thursday, the showdown is here. The worlds will collide. Yours truly and Jason Solomonster will be here live at 8.05 p.m. Special start time. Normally Thursdays it's 10 o'clock, and recently Thursdays have been for channel members only. This is open to every single one of you out there. Jason Solomonster and I will be on here together. And you see, as I showed you earlier, look, I even made a little banner. We just need him to pop up now. So give you like, look who's here. So yeah, I actually made, you know, working on some artwork. So no, he's coming on here, right here, right here on YouTube. It'll be available in audio only format as well. But I will tell you that this is going to be Thursday, the night after Dynamite. We'll know the ratings for Dynamite. I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion. We're also going to answer your questions, you know, so you have to tune in live if you want to be part of that. Now, in my community section here, I asked if anybody wanted to submit a question earlier, and we would pull a couple from there. And we pulled, I think, 6 or 7 from there. Some of the questions were great, but we tried to pick questions that a majority of you out there would like to know the answers to, not just one person. You know, I mean, I don't want to give examples because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we pulled a couple. So there's going to be like 6 or 7 questions in advance just to kind of like break the ice. But make sure you join us Thursday. And if it goes well and we have a great time and enough of you show up, I will ask them to come on again in the future. I will tell you right now, and this is a promise that I made to him. You know, I know some of you, you know, like to send in super chats to help with the show. Any super chats that come in, we are splitting it down the middle. Believe it or not, we were going to originally give it to charity. But you'd be surprised. I know some people are going to be surprised what I'm about to say. I get a lot of feedback over the last 2 years where people say to me, DT, I didn't send that to you to give to some charity cause. I sent it to you to enjoy it or to put it back in the show. So not everybody wants to contribute something like that just to see it given away. Unless you know in advance. So, no, there will be no charity causes. But in the future, you know, that's different. You know, I mean, we've done some charity drives over the last 2 years, and it's been beautiful. And you know, I'm transparent. You see where the money goes. I mean, it's, you know, it's well documented. But Thursday, Alex is concerned. Alex is saying, please let him speak and finish his sentence before I give my opinion. Alex, I don't think there's going to be any problem Thursday. I think it's going to be an awesome discussion. I'm sure there's going to be some debates where we are in total opposite sides of the coin. And it's going to be a fun show, you know. And listen, I plan on having others on as well. So Jason was the most requested out of everybody that, you know, you all contributed. And once we do that one, I will ask all of you again, who do you want to see next? And if that person is willing to come on, then I'll have them on. Look, there's some wrestlers I obviously plan on having on this year. Some Hall of Famers as well. Some people I'm friendly with too. But right now, Thursday, Jason will join me. We're going to do a special episode of the Don Tony Show. I hope you can join us. And I promise you, it is going to be a very fun, entertaining show. Very cool. Sam, your birthday, and Dorian Mesa. Happy birthday to you too, my friend. I think his birthday was Saturday, and he was a little bit disappointed that I didn't do a Saturday night show because of Elimination Chamber. But, yeah, I'm going to ask Cross to come on. Benjamin, definitely without a doubt. I don't think he'll say no. I mean, you know, anything's possible, but Cross is one on my list. I have a list of about 20 people, and he's definitely on that list. But, yeah, I'm calling it a night. We've done 90 minutes already, my friend. It's, you know, it's getting late. You know, here in New York, it's almost 12:45. So now I got to edit this, put it online, type up a synopsis, change all my original templates for all the areas of downloading and uploading, you know, because it was a solo show. But that's it. So tomorrow on Patreon, I think I'm here solo again. So if you're part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, I will be up right after NXT. I will be watching NXT tomorrow, so that will be a topic of discussion. So if you'd like to join me and you know, hang out for a little while, tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m., Patreon Discord. So, all right, everybody. It's been real. I thank you very much for joining me tonight. Sorry that it ended up not being a two-man show, but hopefully, you know, you enjoyed it nonetheless. I had a lot of fun chatting with you, and yeah, post your feedback. Oh, another thing, one last thing, very quickly. One thing I started doing, we started with Elimination Chamber, and it was really, really good. In the comment section, feel free to ask a question. If you have a follow-up question based on what we talked about tonight, post your questions in the comment section. I will be more than happy to answer it. You know, just don't post 20. You know, I mean, if you have a follow-up question based on something we talked about tonight, post it in the comment section and I will definitely answer it. And I will answer it right then and there in the comment section. So, all right, everybody, be well, stay safe. I'll either see you tomorrow night on Patreon or Wednesday for Wednesday Night Dynamite. Oh, and this is officially episode 4,993, I believe. I think it's 4,993. Next week, I believe, we hit 5,000. So, yeah, came so quickly. Episode 5,000. Never thought that would ever happen. So, be well, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.